Welcome to Good Friday here at Hoboken Grace. If this is your first time with us, we're super excited to have you. We're so excited about not just tonight, but this whole weekend. As a matter of fact, as we get started tonight, I want to just take a few seconds and just celebrate if we can. Just celebrate. It's amazing to me and somewhat overwhelming to me that just a few months ago we came together as a family and talked about this dream of expanding beyond just this one location. And we talked about this and we began to dream about this. And I want to just kind of big picture items let you know what's happened over the past few months. And it really does. It blows my mind. I was sitting in my office today just thinking about it. It blows my mind, everything that's happened over the past few months. I mean, you just look at the big things. We came together at the beginning of the year and we set this goal of moving beyond this location. At the beginning of the year, we had one location with three services. Then we launched 800 Clinton Street. And we saw that location take off and everything that's been happening up there. It's been unbelievable. It's been phenomenal. But not only did we see that happen, but then Celebrate Recovery launched and it's actually taking place right now across town. And people are beginning to work through their hurts and habits and hangups and everything that goes into that. It's just phenomenal. And then you just go back a couple of days ago and you see this Easter egg hunt and over 2,000 people coming together and we get to love them in that way. It's just unbelievable, all of it leading up to this coming Sunday, and to be able to be here together tonight and just to see this room just packed out as we come together to celebrate the cross and what Jesus Christ did for us, and then to come to Sunday and to celebrate this new life that's possible in Him and how he came back from the dead and how we can begin to experience that ourselves, but not just to celebrate it here in one place, but to see the Hamilton Park location open and the 800 Clinton Street location open. I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? Can we just celebrate for a couple seconds? And if you talk to the staff and if you talk to the leaders, there were plenty of times where we had no idea if we were going to make it. And some of the staff, if you talk to them tonight, you can say words to them, but they won't respond to you because they're just kind of dazed and confused. And there's things going on back there, but we can't really figure out what it is. And it's just this huge push. And I want to celebrate it, but I also want to make sure that I recognize what makes this possible. Because the truth is, everything that we've seen happen, it's unbelievable that God has opened the doors that He has and moved in the way that He has to make this happen. And all the glory to Him. And we know that there's nothing that we can do on our own. But at the same time, I also want to recognize that so many of you here in the room, your sacrifice is what's made this possible as well. And the fact that over and over and over again, you have decided to say yes to God over and over and over again. You got up and you showed up and you did what needed to be done in order to be able to love the people that God's given us the opportunity to love. And I want to recognize that tonight and I want to celebrate that tonight because to me, as we come together tonight to celebrate the cross, the truth is that what we're going to do tonight is just a shadow of the way in which the cross has been honored inside of our church family. Because you continue to say yes. And we don't honor the cross with 1 hour or one moment. We honor the cross when we decide that it's worth more than just one night. It's worth my life. And so you give everything that you have to give to be able to see that cross lifted up and the message of Jesus Christ move forward and more people come to know Him for who He really is and the way that He's truly loved them. And I want to celebrate you tonight. Those of you who have just poured out your lives over the past few months to bring us to where we are tonight. That is what it means to honor the cross. Will you guys pray with me? Father, I just want to thank you tonight for this unbelievable family that you allow us to be part of. I want to thank you for what we're going to talk through and this beautiful thing that we're going to see tonight about the cross and how it leads us forward
as we look to love those around us. But Father, as we celebrate that, I also want to personally thank you for those that you have brought to be part of this family who have just continued over and over and over again to say yes to you and to give of their lives for this mission. And Father, I know what that means to you. And Father, I want to say thank you. And collectively, we want to say thank you. Because all of it is possible. Every single last bit of it is possible. Because of you. And what your son did that day on that cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we come together on this unbelievable night, to be able to remember this unbelievable act, to be honest with you, I struggled for a while of what we would talk about. And there are so many different things about the cross that are just so beautiful. And I went to God, I'm like, God, what do you want for us to really look at in this? Because there's just so many possibilities. There's the beauty of forgiveness and the beauty of love and the beauty of freedom that we're going to begin to talk through on Sunday morning and everything that comes with that. There's the beauty of sacrifice and there's just so many beautiful things. But as I came to it and as I continued to just read the story over and over and over again, I was brought back to something that to me is deeply, deeply personal. But I was brought back to it from a perspective that I didn't necessarily expect. Because I think that one of the greatest beauties in the cross is actually found in the greatest moment of pain. And I think that in this greatest moment of pain, we can see a great deal of what God is trying to help us learn and trying to help us understand about love as he goes to the cross. And when we read through the story of the cross, oftentimes we think of the greatest moment of pain as when the whip wraps around his back or when the nails are driven into his hands or when he's ridiculed or beaten. But when you go to the scriptures and you begin to look at the scriptures and read through the story, you begin to realize that for Jesus Christ, the greatest moment of pain wasn't the moment that the whip ripped the flesh off of his back or when the crown of thorns was pressed into his head. It was a different moment altogether. And I want to take you to that moment. It's found in Matthew chapter 27, and the passage that we're going to look at tonight is found right in the midst of the crucifixion. Matthew chapter 27, verse 41 through 54. It starts off, it says, "The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. So he is the king of Israel, is he?" At this point, Jesus has already been nailed to the cross. He's already been beaten. The crown of thorns has been pressed onto his brow, and he's been lifted up on this cross. And as he stands there, as he sits there, everyone is sitting around mocking him and talking about how he can't even save himself. How could he possibly save someone else? And they continue, "Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way." The story continues, and it says, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3:00. At about 3:00, Jesus called out with a loud voice." Now, to me, this is unbelievably significant. And if you've been in Backstage Pass, you've heard me talk about this, that there's a huge significance to this moment, because throughout the entire process of the crucifixion, Jesus Christ has never cried out. As you read through the story, you can go through the beatings and it doesn't talk about him crying out. And it's not to say that he doesn't, but every single writer makes sure that this is the one point at which Jesus Christ cries out. This emphasis, this moment of pain. And it says that it became completely dark. And all of a sudden, from the cross, you hear Jesus call out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, why have you abandoned me?"
He goes through all of this abuse. He goes through some of the worst moments of torture you could possibly imagine. And the entire thing, he never cries out until this moment. And it says that the earth goes dark. And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when you read through the scriptures, you begin to understand the fullness of what's happening in this moment on the cross, because you begin to understand what Isaiah 53 helps us to understand, that in this moment, all of our sin, everything that's broken about me and you, everything that we've ever done, as John said, to hurt those around us or to spit in the face of our God, has been placed upon Jesus Christ. He has actually become our sin. And so as he becomes our sin, the Father, as he looks at the cross, can no longer stand to look at it. And so he turns away. Because when he looks at the cross, he no longer sees his Son. He sees me and he sees you. And all of the sin and all of the ugliness and all of the brokenness. And so he turns away. And for the very first moment, Jesus Christ knows what it means to be alone. Completely alone. You see, the greatest pain of the crucifixion for Jesus Christ was not the nails. It was not the whip. It was to, for the first time in his entire existence, to be separated from his Father. To be completely alone. Because of your sin and my sin. And I just want to let you know, nothing's going to explode in the back. Okay? Because I can sense a growing sense of urgency inside the crowd. And there's this overwhelming feeling in the room that we could die in just a few minutes, because it sounds like something is going to blow up in that back corner. We had the joy of having our offices located inside this building for several months after the hurricane, and we discovered that this building just likes to make really loud noises. At randomly, at any time, when the heater comes on, that it just sounds like there is 100 elves downstairs banging on something. And if you think this room is bad, you should go to the room where we had our offices, because it really did seem like something was going to blow up. It will be okay. But it wasn't the nails. It wasn't the whip. It was the fact that he was alone because of our sin. And that's what sin does. Sin destroys relationship. Sin is always relational. We're going to talk through this more on Sunday. Sin is always relational. And sin destroys relationship. It disconnects us from God. It disconnects us from one another. And so Jesus Christ goes to the cross and he dies to be able to restore those connections. And the amazing thing about the cross, and sometimes the thing that we miss, is that Jesus Christ doesn't just go to the cross to be able to restore our connection to our Father. He goes to the cross to be able to restore our connection to one another. He goes not only so that there would be nothing between us and him, but also so that we could begin to live our lives in such a way that there's nothing between us and the person next to us. See, Jesus endures this unbelievable moment of loneliness in order to bring restoration to connection. And tonight, as we come together and as we look at this passage, the truth is we live in a world that is full of lonely people. I mean, full of lonely people. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because tonight you walked in here and that's you. And you heard about this service, or maybe you've been attending Hoboken Grace for a little while, or maybe this is your first time. And you walked in here because you want so badly to be able to connect. You want so badly to be part of a family. I want you to know something tonight as we look at this story. When Jesus Christ goes to that cross, he goes to that cross for that very reason. So that you could be part of a family. So that you would never have to walk another day alone. You would not have to go through another week alone. And not just between you and God, but the amazing thing is that you and God tonight, as you sit here, can be reunited. And what John said earlier is true. It does not matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the journey that you've lived up to today. Jesus Christ endured that loneliness to pay for anything that would ever stand between you and being part of family. Real family. And God says that if you'll place your faith in him and what he did on that cross, that there's nothing else that you need to do, there's nothing you have to make up for, that you can be reconnected to him right here, right now. But not just that, but that you can begin to live amongst a family. And I want you to know tonight, no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, not only that God is pursuing you, but that the people around you tonight love you. Many of them have been giving of themselves and their lives routinely for months and years to be able to have the opportunity tonight to have you here so that you could be part of this family. At Hoboken Grace, we talk about dinner groups all the time, and it's for this very reason. We don't think it's just nice to be connected. We think it's the purpose of why he went to that cross. So that you don't have to be alone anymore. And we have groups that get together every single week to be able to live life together, to begin to experience what Jesus Christ died for. That not only could there be nothing between us and him, but that there could begin to be nothing between us and the people around us. And the beauty of that. And for some of you tonight, as we come together and we celebrate this cross, the message of Jesus Christ to you is this. You don't have to be alone anymore. And the family that you've been looking for, he died to give you. But for others of us, we're in a different situation, a different scenario. We've begun to find family. And for many of you who are here, the reason that you're here is because you're part of a family, a growing, expanding, phenomenal family. And you come together tonight to be able to celebrate that together and to look at the cross together with this family. And as you hear me talk about what Jesus Christ came for you to experience, you know it because you've experienced it personally. And I think for those of us who are in that situation, I think there's another thing that we can't miss about this story. There's something else that's just unbelievably beautiful about what Jesus is trying to help us realize about the world and the way that it works and what it means to love. Because when you look at the message of Jesus Christ, I think it's very, very clear. When you look at this moment in Jesus Christ's life, I think it's very, very clear this unbelievable thing that he wants for us to grab hold of, that sometimes in order to be able to bring connection to those around us, we have to purposefully step out of connection ourselves. And sometimes, in order to be able to love those who aren't connected,
we have to actually step out of connection ourselves. And Jesus Christ is a part of this unbelievable family. And his Father, in his entire existence, he's connected to the Father and the Spirit. And the three of them are perfectly connected. But he realizes that if he's going to connect with us, then he's going to have to step out of that connection. And this can be one of the most difficult things on this entire journey. This can be one of the most difficult things that we ever walk through. But if we're going to connect those around us the way that Jesus Christ is connecting us, then there are going to be times when you have to step out of connection. And there are all sorts of different ways that this looks for us. There are all sorts of different ways in which this is played out. And sometimes it's as simple as walking in on a Sunday morning and everything inside of you says, I just want to go hang out with the people that I know. Or maybe even as you walked in here tonight, it was just, I want to hang out with the people that I know. And so I'm going to go talk to all the people that I know. But when you look at this unbelievable picture of the cross, you see this precedent. You see that Jesus Christ is leading us to engage the world around us in a different way. And that if we're going to follow the one who gave his life for us, then there are going to be time after time after time after time where we're going to have to walk in and say, okay, rather than just going to those that I'm connected to, I'm going to purposefully step out of connection in order to connect someone else. In order to bring them into this family. And sometimes it's as simple as a Sunday morning. And then also when you look at dinner groups, the very same thing plays out in that situation, because oftentimes in dinner groups, we get together and we begin to build relationships with one another, and we want to be able to stay together and to know one another even more and more and more. And the idea that we would multiply as a group to be able to impact more people seems so difficult. But the message of the cross is that if you want to connect others, it oftentimes means that you have to step out of connection purposefully yourself. This weekend is actually kind of interesting for me as it pertains to this exact same thing. About 5 years ago, as we were starting Hoboken Grace, which was then called the Church at Hoboken, we were just a couple of services in, and this kid walked in. He looks a lot older than he actually is. This kid walked in named John Carlos. He really does. I know you think he's 35. He's not. Everyone's like, oh, you know, John, like, how much older is John than you? I'm like, he's not older than me. All right? This kid walked in. And he starts serving just a couple weeks later. He's on a ministry team. And then just a couple months later, he's leading a ministry team. And about a year later, he comes on staff. And he's just trying to learn how to be able to impact more people, how to be able to love more people, how to be able to care for people better. And this weekend's really interesting for me, because literally for 5 years, John and I have walked through almost every single service Hoboken Grace has ever had. And we've walked through it together. But one of the things that we realized as we began to look at what God was calling us to do is that if we were going to connect more people, we were going to have to purposefully step out of connection ourselves. And as we step into Sunday morning, it may be the very last time that John and I ever walk through a service together again. But the message of the cross is that if you're going to connect, if you're going to build the family, if you're going to extend the family, then oftentimes you have to purposefully step out of that connection yourself. And when you begin to look at what the Bible says about the message of Jesus Christ, you see that when Jesus Christ goes to the cross, he doesn't go to the cross with hesitation. He doesn't go to the cross timidly, but that he goes, the scriptures say, for the joy that's set before him. You see, he knows as he endures this unbelievably difficult time, as he steps into this unbelievably difficult moment, that the result of it is going to be unbelievable. And as you're here tonight, whether you're here tonight as a lonely person, looking for family, or whether you're here tonight as a person who's experiencing family, who's realizing that you're going to have to extend, that you're going to have to step out, I want you to know something. When you trust God, when you trust God and step into that group, or when you trust God and maybe step out from that group, it's better. It's better. And as you look around this room and you see these seats that are just packed, I want you to know it's because people took a chance, because people trusted God and believed him that he died to bring them that family and stepped into that family. And it's also because people decided that it was more valuable to them to connect those around them than to just maintain the connection that they already had. You see, the cross is about family. But not just finding it, but bringing it to everyone we possibly can. And Jesus Christ steps into that moment to take care of everything that stands between us and our God, and to open the door for us to begin to experience the same with the person who sits next to you tonight. The cross is filled with an unbelievable amount of beauty. And tonight, we come to celebrate it. Will you pray with me? Father, as we look at how you did this, as we look at this unbelievable act of love, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how you're constantly teaching us how to love better. And as we look at this probably the most intense moment of you loving us, we see not only how you've brought us into this family, but literally demonstrated how we can begin to do the same for others. Father, I want to pray for those who are here who are alone. Father, sometimes a place like this and a city like this filled with people can be one of the loneliest places to be. Father, I pray that tonight they would know first and foremost, that they would experience first and foremost, that you came to bring them into your family, to reconnect them with you. And I pray that as they look at this moment on the cross, as we come together tonight, that this wouldn't just be a service that they would attend, but that this would be a beginning of a journey. A journey of discovering everything that you died to be able to bring into their lives, everything that you died in order to be able to help them to see and experience in you. I also pray that it would be the beginning of a journey
in which they would discover that this family that they've been invited into is not something that exists in the future, but something that is here and now. I pray that they would trust you, that they would step out and begin to pursue this idea of being connected here as part of our family, or if it's not here, to be able to connect at another church, to be part of a family. And then, Father, I pray for those who are here who are part of family. I pray that as we look at this moment, we would see the love that you're leading us into. Not just the love that's been demonstrated for us, but also the love that you're leading us into. To consistently and consciously step out of that which makes us comfortable, step out of that closeness and that connection that we love in order to be able to bring that to someone else. So that more and more and more can experience this unbelievable, unbelievable love that you've given us. Father, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the forgiveness. I thank you for the freedom. I thank you for the love. In Jesus' name, amen.